Good morning, church. So good to have you here online. Hey, you heard the announcement that several of our serve team members and staff found out they're positive with COVID in the last week, and so we've shut the building down this week. We're online, though, but next Sunday, we're back here in the building. So looking forward to part four of the Daniel Dilemma with you on that day, October 4th. But between now and then, all in-building activities are suspended until we have a chance to deep clean the entire building and know that we're able to provide a healthy environment for you and your kids. My name's Mark, and it's so good to have every one of you with us online, whether it's CBS, it's you're in a correctional facility, you're here just watching live. We're doing part three of Daniel Dilemma, and that's how to live in a culture that seems to sometimes be antagonistic to the Christian worldview that many of us hold dear to our hearts. And so in the next couple of weeks, October 4th, is municipal elections here in Fairbanks, Alaska. And I want to encourage you, I've put together a list, my personal voting list. This list does not reflect the board of True North Church or the leadership of our church. It reflects my personal voting list. And I promised you that I would give that to you at church, but we're online today. So if you text this number, 206-535-1955, if you text vote to that, you text vote to that number, type in the word vote to this phone number, it'll send you back a link to my voting list. We also have a conservative voting guide. You can find it on voteforfairbanks.com. And again, enough with that. But I think if we want to stand for Christ in our culture, that it does matter who and what when we vote our values. And so I vote my values. I don't vote my party line. I vote my values. And so this list represents my personal values. You know, we're in this series, Daniel Dilemma, and it talks about how do we hold truth high in a culture of compromise, and how do we give grace freely? Jesus, I think, modeled it the best. Jesus, when he came, in John 1:1, it says he came full of grace and full of truth. And so we are people at True North that believe we should hold truth high. We're going to preach the word of God. We're going to stand upon the word of God when it comes to making decisions that are difficult. The culture might say, hey, you know, why are you making that? Well, because the word of God says that. But we're also going to love people freely. Here's a theme verse for today. Be on your guard. Stand firm in your faith. Be on your guard. In other words, there's going to come a time when if we let our guard down, we might not stand firm in our faith. And I believe in our culture. I think the church around the world and around the globe sometimes has not stood firm in their faith. We want to stand up in a bowed down world. We want to stand firm in our faith. And we want to be courageous and strong. And then it says, do everything in love. Next week, we'll talk about that. Because we can sometimes, the church can stand firm in their faith and be courageous, but not do it in love. You ever been at a restaurant where you're with a group of guys, and maybe hey Pat, let's pray for breakfast, and you're like, okay, and the guys prays loud enough everyone around us can hear. I'm thinking, like, guys, that's not courage. I don't know if that's even, I don't think we have, that's when I say be courageous, I'm not talking about being weird. I'm saying, how do we stand firm in our faith in a culture that sometimes is abrasive to our worldview? Next week, we'll talk about how to do everything in love. Let's take a look at a story in Daniel. Now, again, the book of Daniel, the setting is Babylon. And Babylon is current day Iraq. And Babylon's a location. Last week, we talked about Babylon is more than a locality. It's a mentality. In the book of Revelation, it talks about the queen of Babylon. There's a spirit that's still alive in our culture today. It's a Babylon mentality. And in the book of Revelations, it says all the earth's abominations or sins or prostitution away from God comes from this queen of Babylon, the spirit of Babylon. And so Babylon stands for that. And one day, the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, was asking some God-fearers to bow down. And I want to look at this story because it's a story of how do we stand firm in our faith. So let's take a look at this story today. King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 3 says, made an image of gold, 60 cubits high and 60 cubits wide, and set it up on the plains of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the advisors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he'd set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. It goes on, it says, then the herald loudly proclaimed, nations and peoples of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all kinds of music, you must bow down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar set up. But I want you to know something. I've highlighted the word image in yellow and the word sound because I believe culture has images and sounds it wants you to bow down to. In fact, I believe at some time there'll be a conflict where there's a command, bow down to this image. In other words, embrace, believe the images and the sounds. Friends, oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. We as Christ followers, understand culture is going to market, package their worldview within images and sound bites. And some people, well, what I listen to, pastor, is not that big a deal. Oh, yes, it is. Jesus himself said, my words are spirit and their life. Words have a spirit behind them. Sound has a spirit behind them. I encourage you, go find music. There's music in this world, in our culture, that if you listen to it for an hour, you'll walk away angry, you'll walk away with this attitude. Put worship music on for an hour and see if your attitude's different than some of the world's music. Because culture, and I believe there's coming a cultural demand to have a conflict that's coming. And in this story, there's a conflict coming, arising over images and sound. And it says this, but there are some Jews who set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of the god you've set up. In other words, when the sound blew, they didn't bow down. They didn't say, well, you know, now's a good time to tie my shoe. You know, everyone else is bowing. I'm not bowing down. I'm just tying my shoe. My shoelace was... They didn't bow down. They stood up. The whole world bowed down. And I want to show you what happens, because I believe this. I believe when you take a stand in a culture that's demanding you to bow down and you don't, watch this. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Furious with rage. Have you understood? Let's back up for a second. In our culture, isn't it amazing when you believe something different than someone else or a group of people in our culture, they get angry and they get furious? They call it intolerance. They call it, well, you're being intolerant. Well, you know, the reality is this. This is a picture of our culture today. Nebuchadnezzar was furious with rage and angry because a group of people said, I believe something different than you. I'm not going to bow down to what you want me to bow down to. I have a worldview that does not allow me to do that. And I'm convinced in our culture, and there's been times I've taken stands, even in our own city. I've taken stands. My voting list has taken a stand. I've taken a stand on certain issues and certain values I hold dear to my heart that the Word of God embraces. And when you do that, there are a group of people that will be furious with you. And it goes on, it says, so these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image, the gold I've set up? Now when you hear the sound, again, sound and images, the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you'll be thrown immediately into a blazing fire. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? In other words, he almost throws out this thought, come on, there's no God out there to rescue you. If you, in other words, if you don't bow down to the image when you hear the sound, you don't submit, then I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace. And so there's this, there is this, this, this conflict, this, this war going on between someone who wants God's people to do something they won't do. Today, I want to talk about how do we stand firm in our faith? Because I believe, church, with all my heart, there's coming a day, if we don't already see the impetus or the beginning of the storm coming, there's a polarization in our culture, and one that will ask us and at times demand us to stand up for a faith we believe in. So three ways to stand firm. Number one, standing firm takes courage. It takes courage and guts, if I could say it that way. Spiritual intestines, okay, to stand up and for what you believe in. And we see this with Shadrach. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Again, they were told, hey, you know, if there's a God out there that can save you, he's not there. I mean, I bow down and worship me. And it says, they replied, oh, Nebuchadnezzar. Now, they didn't say they weren't mean. We'll talk more about this next week. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we are not worried about what will happen to us. They didn't knock him. They didn't dog him. They didn't belittle him. They said, we're not worried. Let's talk about that. Did they not have fear? I think they had fear, but they weren't worrying. I think they had a conviction deep in their spirit that God was on their side. And so what they said is, we're not worried what will happen to us. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, right before he was led astray, you know, during the Nazi regime, he stood up against the Nazi regime as a born-again Christ follower in a day many churches had crumbled and started to take on some of the Nazi belief system. Otherwise, the Nazi regime said, well, you'll have to shut your door. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer started the seminary. Dietrich Bonhoeffer started training people up to be radically resist some of the compromise of the day. And on his way to be executed, he told people, tell my wife that my earthly life was soon coming to an end, but I'm starting my new life today. In other words, he had this conviction. He had this courage. Now courage, here's a powerful thought. Courage is not the absence of fear. You can have fear. Courage is standing firm in spite of your fear. In other words, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, I'm standing firm. Culture might be eroding around me, but I'm standing firm in my faith. I am convinced. The second truth concerning standing firm is standing firm takes faith. Takes faith. In fact, the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. I love this next statement in Daniel chapter 3. It says, if we are thrown into the flaming furnace, if, because they knew they would be. They knew that Nebuchadnezzar wasn't bluffing it. Nebuchadnezzar had built this huge statue and in front of hundreds of thousands of people, bow down. I'm going to throw you in the furnace if you don't. He knew that it says, if we are thrown into a flaming furnace, our God is able. They had the faith to know. We're not worried because we have faith. Our God is able. How many know God is able? God's able to heal. God's able to restore. God's able to pour his spirit upon all flesh and do miracles. God's able to deliver us, and he will deliver us out of your hand, your majesty. Notice they called him your majesty. They were being kind. They were being gracious. They weren't trying to belittle him or marginalize him because they believed something different than he believed. But, I love this, but if he doesn't, please understand, sir, that even then, we will never under any circumstances serve your gods, worship the gold statue you've erected. In other words, what are they saying? We know he's able, but if he doesn't, we have the faith to know that we're standing firm in our convictions. We're standing firm in what we believe. In fact, the series after this is going to be on right or wrong, and how do you take something you believe and add convictions to it? How do you stand full of faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. And there will come a day when God will ask you to take a stance on what you believe, a stand. And you might have to take courage, and it might take the ability to stand in faith to believe whether God shows up or not. You're still going to take a stand. If we don't stand for something, church, friends, we'll fall for anything. What do you stand for? There's a book I recently read called Your Stand is Your Brand. In other words, you need to be known for what you're for. What do you stand for? And our church, I pray you know that our church is more convinced to take a stand for who Jesus Christ is. We want to know what we're for, not what we're against. As True North Church, we are for marriage. We are for life. We are for hope. We are for babies being born. We are for the next generation. We are for godly principles. If we don't stand for something, we'll fall for anything. And there's some of you out there, well, I don't know what I really believe for. I'm undecided. Friends, you need to decide, because there'll come a day you have to stand for something. And if you don't know what you're standing for, you'll fall for anything. The third principle or truth about standing firm is number three, stand firm. Standing firm inspires others. I want to show this story. You know, Nebuchadnezzar had said to the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, bow down, and if you don't, we'll throw you in the fiery furnace. I want to show you. They took a stand with courage and faith. They weren't worried. And they said, God's able, but if he doesn't, and then it says this, therefore I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In other words, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the Bible says that they were in the fire. They threw them in the fire. And as they're thrown into the fire, two of the guards that were there, as they were thrown in the fire, two of the guards died. And three men were thrown in the fire. And all of a sudden, a fourth one was in there walking around in the fire, unburned, untouched. Nebuchadnezzar ran down to the furnace. And he asks them what's going on, and he decrees to the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they be cut into pieces, and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other God can save in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. He promoted them. Look at this for a second. Not only he decreed, you have to serve God. What is he saying? He's going, I now serve God. I'm a believer. Here I am. In other words, when you take a stand for God, there are some people that are finally going to go, finally, someone who stands for something they truly believe in. And then what I love here is they were promoted. See, a lot of us think if we take a stand in our culture, we'll be demoted. I'm convinced if you take a stand in your culture, and we'll talk about this later on, God will stand up for you. So here's the thought. We want to be a voice in our culture and not an echo. In other words, we want to be the ones to take a stand and be a voice. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were a voice, not an echo. Nebuchadnezzar became an echo. He became the one. But we can be a voice, and God will promote us in this culture. Now, I want to close with these three thoughts today. I want to close with how to live, stand up in a bow-down world. We must, number one, we must stand in prayer. You know, in our culture, we've made prayer lots of things. Oh, we have a quiet time with Jesus. We have whatever. Friends, there comes a time when there's cultural challenges. We take a stand in prayer. In fact, look at what Paul calls it. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your what? Stand against the devil's scheme. Take your stand. There comes a time when we pray that our prayer is a stance. Our prayer is a military move, friends, where we begin to declare war on the culture, and we say, God, in the name of, I put on the full arm so I can take my stand. And Paul goes on and says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of the evil comes, and in John chapter 17, Jesus said to his Father, I wish we're all one. He says, but don't take my people out of this world. Protect them from the evil one. Well, how are we protected from the evil one? We're protected with the full armor of God. So when the day of evil comes, which is coming, after, and it's here, you may be able to stand your ground. In other words, we pray and we war. And when we pray, we're taking a stand in prayer. If you don't like the direction your family's going, parents, stand in prayer. You don't like the way education's going, stand in prayer. You can talk, you can complain, you can take a stand in prayer. You don't like a certain way things are going, stand in prayer. Don't talk to everyone else about it, talk to God about it. And it says, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then. So how do you live? How do you stand up in a bow down world? You stand in prayer and know that God is there and God hears and God answers. The second truth about standing up in a bow down world is number two, stand in for my purposes. Friends, we have to stand for our purposes. 1 Corinthians, it says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. You know what the enemy would love to do? Now, here's the trick of the enemy. The enemy's a liar. The Bible says when the enemy lies, he speaks his native tongue. And there's some of you watching today when I say stand for the purpose of God, I don't know if I have any purposes, Mark. I've sinned a lot in my life. I'm not very talented. I'm not very gifted. And the devil would like to tell you that you're not very talented, that you're not very gifted, that God could never use you. But he can't tell you the truth. He has to lie. Reality is, if you don't feel very useful, the reality is you are useful. The devil's not going to go, oh, you're really useful. You got all these gifts. He can tell you what you don't have, but he's a liar. Flip it around. Realize, stand firm. Stand fully for the work the Lord's called you to. We're all called for something. If you're at True North and you haven't gone through Grow Track and understand your spiritual gifts and your shape, how God made you, stand for your purposes. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood on the purposes of God and said, everyone else might bow down, majesty, but we will not defile ourselves with the images and the sound of Babylon. We are standing firm for the call and the purposes of God in our culture and life. Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It's not vain when you take a stand. It's not vain. And thirdly, stand for God. Stand for God. I want to show you this. In Matthew, it says, stand up for me against world opinion, and I'll stand up for you before my Father in heaven. That's in the Message translation. I love how that's worded. Stand up for me against world's opinion. In other words, when culture and the images and the sound and all the opinion of the world, stand up. God says, stand up for me. Friends, we're going to start a series on right and wrong. And we're going to talk about the fact there's precepts in Scripture. There's the Word of God. And then there's overarching principles that go along with those words. But all of the precepts and principles we live stem from the person of God. Why are we pro-life? Because God came to give life and life more abundantly. Why are we people who are people of purity? Because God is pure. God is a holy God. That's why we live lives holy. And that's why there's precepts and principles that go along with our life. We stand up for God against world opinion. Everyone else is doing it. You can compromise. You know, it's 50 shades of gray in our culture. No, God's black and white. We stand up against the world's opinion, and God will stand up for you. I want to walk you through this thought as we close today. In Hebrews, it says that after Jesus ascended into heaven, he sits at the right hand of God the Father, and he ever intercedes for us. And we know the Bible says, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. In Hebrews, who's the joy set before him? We're the joy. Mark and Elijah and Clarence and Bo and Billy and Sarah and Braxton and Kinley. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross. He endured the cross because you were on his mind. He stood up for you. So we stand up for him. But we know this. We know in Colossians, where's Christ? Where Christ is? He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. God is seated. But one of my favorite stories in the Bible, and I want to walk you through this because I believe this. I used to youth pastor for a long time, and I would challenge students, take a stand for God. When you stand for him, he'll stand up for you. I want to share you. In the book of Acts, there's persecution. There's a cultural clash. Stephen's the first martyr who died professing Jesus as the Lord and Savior of his life. And we'll pick up his story. He's being stoned. And the way they stone people, they put him in a pit and they would drop boulders on him. They've been dropping boulders on Stephen, and Stephen stands up and this is what he says. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing. Look at that. Standing at the right hand of God the Father. Although in Colossians, he's seated. But God at times will stand up. And it says this, look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. I'm convinced that when we take a stand for God, Jesus stands up for us. You might feel like you're all alone. Maybe you're a student and you're going, is it worth standing up? Or maybe you're a single adult and you're the only one not partying on the weekends because you don't want to live your life the way other people live their life and take a stand. When you stand up, there's a picture here. God stands up for you. Jesus will stand for you when you stand for him. Maybe you're watching today and I'm going to pray at the end that you take a stand for Christ. My prayer is some of you would look at our culture and say, you know, it's time to take a step up. My family, as a husband, take a stand up. As a single adult, maybe as a married couple, take a stand for righteousness in your marriage. Maybe you're a teenager saying, take a stand for Christ at my school when they reopen. I don't know, but I know this. God's asked us to take a stand. But maybe you're watching this today and you're out of relationship with Jesus. And we always say at True North, it's as easy as A, B, C to know Jesus. A, admit you sin. B, believe that Jesus died on the cross to forgive you of your sins. And C, confess your sins. The Bible says if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you. It also says if you confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him dead, you'll be saved. So I'm going to pray for you. I want to pray you admit, believe, and confess. A, B, C. Would you just bow your heads wherever you're at right now, wherever you're listening, and pray this prayer silently as I pray it out loud. Dear Jesus, today I admit that I've sinned, but I believe that you died on the cross for me. Please forgive me for my sins today. And Lord, I confess you as the leader of my life. Thank you for being my Savior, but I choose to make you my Lord, my life leader. Help me serve you every day from here on out. In Jesus' name, amen.